When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So it's Blahi and DeBurga.
DeBurga. Oh, that's a great name.
Thank you. My parents gave it to me for my birthday. So.
And so Serena, who's been on the podcast before, suggested that you do the podcast, and she said that you have a show or something involved in kink. Now, I've been so busy this week that I haven't even been able to really like check anything. So, which is good though, because so if you can explain it to me, everything you do, and that'll be great for the listeners as well, because
yeah,
I'm sure most of them don't know either.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's exactly what I want. Do you want me to explain it now, or do you want me to wait until...
Yeah, tell me everything.
Ooh, okay, super duper. Oh my God. Okay, great. So basically, I have a show. It's called Blah, Blah, Blah with special guests. It's a live monthly comedy panel show about intersectional feminism. So we have a different topic every month, and we're going to... like, it's kind of... that intersectional feminism is kind of like the glue that holds it all together. So it's a different topic, and then we cover it from an intersectional feminist lens, I suppose. But the one on Sunday the 31st of July is going to be, yes, the topic is going to be kink, or getting kinky is what we've called it. And so we'll be getting in like kink performers and so on. We get a different panel of three guests every month, and so we just chat about things with them. So the objective is that, like, I'm kind of there to, even if it's a really heavy topic, this one's going to be a little bit lighter, but even if it's a really heavy topic, that it's to kind of make intersectional feminism kind of accessible for everybody. It's like someone that might be thinking about getting involved or more active, or even like finding out more about the topic of whatever night, that they'd come along and, you know, not know where to start, and that by the end of it, they'd know all the terminology and stuff like that. I'm the class clown in order to bring everything together, basically.
Yeah. So, and I will ask you about, especially about the show involving kink, but firstly, what is intersectional feminism? And did I say that correctly?
Yes. Yeah. So, so feminism, obviously we all know, I assume that we all know, maybe I shouldn't assume. So obviously feminism is the pursuit of equality between the sexes, quote unquote sexes, quote unquote genders, with a focus on women, on platforming women in order to get to that equality, because that's not where it is at the moment. And then intersectional feminism is that, but with an extra kind of layer of recognition that there are some women, or some people even, because, you know, it's not just men and women out there. There's like non-binary people, there's trans people, and so on. Gender is a construct, send tweet. So because of that, there's an extra layer of recognition that some people need feminism to focus on them more at different times, depending on the issue. So, you know, it could be, like I said, it could be about recognizing that, you know, LGBTQ people need kind of more protection, trans people need more protection, or it could be about people of color, women of color especially. It could be, you know, the disabled, like people with disabilities. It's very much it's a recognition that, you know, the way Ireland has that lovely, beautiful phrase, ní saoirse go saoirse na mban, which means that freedom won't be reached until the freedom of women has been reached. And so it's kind of that, but it's like more like an all kind of thing. You know, it's that the enemy is the patriarchy, the white supremacy, straight kind of capitalistic corporate kind of model that has been oppressing everybody else. So that's intersectionality, recognizes that, and then kind of focuses where the focus is due.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm taking from it, firstly, that you'll have like different focuses, but also you just want to make sure that you're including people who identify as women, or maybe who identify as feminists but wouldn't say that they're a woman either. Maybe is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, I mean, yeah, but the thing is that, like, of course there are, let's say, like, there are cishet men that definitely, as in cisgendered heterosexual men that definitely identify as feminism or as feminists. And so intersectionality isn't in order to include them. They were already included, you know. And so was, I mean, like, I love it. It's not as if, you know, it's not as if Black women weren't included in the feminist movement in the first place. They largely created it. They largely started it. And then obviously everything has been attributed to white women thereafter. So it's kind of getting back to those roots and recognizing that, I mean, there's like white feminism can be extremely toxic, extremely harmful in ways much more harmful than men that won't call themselves feminists, you know? And so it's kind of, if you want to really, really simplify it, it's just aiming the telescope at the right person at the right time to solve that problem, the problem that's going on. So sometimes you're going to have to focus more on people with disabilities, whether it doesn't matter really about their gender. It takes into account that everybody isn't free until everybody is free, you know? So you can't say that like we have rights for women or equality for women if we don't have equality for all women. And so that includes everybody, everyone on earth, you know? So the oppressed minority groups.
And we saw that here, let's say when BLM was happening, there was a few things where there was like gatherings where white women who are also would maybe like consider themselves feminists and all this stuff, but were speaking, and it's like, no, it's not your turn to speak. get back and listen. So that kind of caused a little controversy, but that's where, yeah, so I think that sounds really amazing to be able to be like, okay, here's you talk now. And especially the things where, like, I never even thought about it, but, you know, you hear about, like, let's say when it comes to, you know, hospitals and stuff like this, like how a lot of the things they tested on men. And so then like with women, it's not. So I never even thought about women who are maybe like disabled, and maybe a lot of those things are already tested on men. So then they have an extra struggle, like that's not being. So, yeah, I think that sounds great that you're able to amplify different voices in the movement.
I do recognize as well, like it's a double edged sword, because obviously like the name blah, blah, blah with special guests that's based on my name, as in Blahina Birka, blah, blah, blah. Women be talking, you know, but like it is an ironic thing that it ended up with my name being the focus of something where I'm like, it's not really about me. It's about passing the mic, you know, but first of all, the name was not my idea. first of all, and second of all, it was actually Sahar's idea. Do you know Sahar, don't you, Sahar?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Just via Instagram, but we would have linked up because of Serena.
Yeah, she's a really good friend of mine. And it was like a lot of this was her idea. I really do have to give credit where credit's due. And I remember when she said, when she had this idea for the show, I was like, why should I, a white woman, be leading this show? And she was like, look, we'll get to that later. It's not about that either. You know, like the show needs to be done, and you are a good person to do this kind of stuff. You're great at doing it anyway. And basically, like the whole model of it is it's based around like a party in my house, because you know the way I know that you did. I from listening to your podcast, I think that you don't drink anymore, right?
Oh, barely, just a little
bit. Yeah, so because like I am a big drinker, big partier, okay? And so it's kind of like that, the model that we used for the show and how it looks, even like the vibe of the show, is that, you know, those conversations at like 7 a.m. when you're like nobody has left, everybody's still up, or well, a few, like most people have left actually, and then there are a few little stragglers left over, and you're having these massive conversations with the jaw swinging off you, and you're running out of cigarettes, and you're having these huge conversations about like really, really, really important things. And it's not as if like what you have to say isn't relevant. What I have to say about like feminism and so on isn't relevant, or isn't more or less relevant based on how drunk I am. I mean, except for if I'm talking shite. But, you know, it's about taking those conversations and then maybe having them with people that can actually instill change or actually know what they're talking about. And also hold them in a room where the audience doesn't get drunk until later on, and so they maybe retain some of the information that they've learned. So it's very much that vibe. It's an accessible kind of, like, it doesn't need to be, it is a comedy show as well as being a chat show. It doesn't need to be this big scary thing. We can all kind of work together, have chats, and kind of like have that good community vibe, you know. But I do kind of resent that my name is the main focus of it, but you know, whatever, it works, it's fine. And you know, and not, it's not always going to be like every single, I mean, this one, the at the end of the month, 31st of July, the next one that we're having, the topic is going to be kink. So it's not as if it's like, it's not as if when we're looking at intersectional feminism that we're going, people are like, people that are kinky should have rights too. I mean, they should, but that, it's not as if like that's one of the minority groups that we talk about. But what we will be looking at is kink as a fun, cool thing to do with like sex and consent and everything like that. And then within that, you know, platforming, let's say like people of color or fat people or people with disabilities, how they engage, how it's not laid out for them, etc. You know, so it's kind of taking it as an umbrella and like looking at everything underneath the intersectional umbrella, but not necessarily always about like being a big scary thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I get it. So like, firstly, obviously, it's great to talk about kink and destigmatize it for anybody who is interested and or is turned on by that or wants to do that or perform that. But I think it is, you automatically think of kink and sometimes it can be like in a man's view. And so people who are scared of that are already just thinking about it that way, or sometimes will perform it for like how the man wants it. So I think it's great to have those conversations where it's like, well, here's other ways. Or also if you have a disability, or also if you're coming at it with this like different perspective, like all the different, like I know I would have thought kink as like this scary dominatrix thing, not even with women. Like I didn't, I knew nothing about it until I moved here. And then I was like, oh, it's like so many layers to it and so many. So I think, and I think when people just like openly talk about that stuff, then it's like already destigmatized, because you're like, all right. Like, I mean, me and Leland do kinky stuff, I would say. It's not like wild, but I like being tied up because I'm by him, not by like, yeah, because like, I feel safe and we've talked about it and all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Well, that's the thing, is that kink is all about consent, you know. I'm not hugely in the world. I'm not as in the kink world as I would like to be. The thing is that the scene in Ireland is quite small, I've been told, but it's growing, which is great. But even within that, I mean, Ireland hasn't fully come away from all of the shame of the past and everything like that. It's still quite repressed in many ways. And hopefully, you know, a show like this will help people to kind of get a little bit more open about it, or to feel a little bit better about it. But it's not as if I'm like majorly like this big deal in the kink scene, you know? And that's why I'm having a little tiny party of my at my house, as in Sinead on the Keys of Dublin, in order to invite the people that are big on the kink scene that people should hear from to talk about it. But like, it's not, I think that it's kind of having a little bit of a moment, kink at the moment, you know. It's kind of there's a little bit more, especially around OnlyFans and especially around, you know, with like after the pandemic, people are a bit more loose with admitting that they have not necessarily only vanilla sex, you know. But I'm hoping to kind of draw those conversations out of people. One of the people that we do have confirmed, I won't give too much away yet because we haven't announced guests yet, that said, we'll announce guests like tomorrow or the next day, so I can say about this one. Her name is Domina Clarity. She's actually American. And she was a comedian for a good while.
The Americans are always teaching us when it comes to sex.
Absolutely.
Like sex shuppa in Ireland.
Yes, totally, exactly. I'm good friends with Shauna as well, Shauna Scott of Sex Shuppa. And Domina Clarity is also living here in Dublin. So it's weird that the Americans come to Ireland and have to teach us about sex. It's like they're St. Patrick or something.
Yeah. Bring in the snakes back instead of scaring
exactly,
them away.
Yeah, bring in all the rabbits into Ireland. So she's going to be on, and she seems so cool. I can't wait to talk to her. But she's been involved in comedy, which means she's a performer. She's been a dominatrix. I believe she's still a dominatrix, and I can't wait to kind of talk about that element of things. She's also in the scene. So we're going to have people that are actually in the scene and know what they're talking about, as well as like either working or maybe like academics or educators kind of thing. I like to get a good mix. I try to make it diverse as well. I don't really have a rule. I did break one of the only rules that I had before, which was that I wouldn't have a cis man on the panel. It's just like, if it's a show about intersectional feminism, we don't need a man on the panel. Like, they get enough places to talk. But last month we had, we called it Pride is dead, question mark. And so I let a gay man on the panel, okay? Mea culpa. But it went really well. It was great to have that perspective that we don't usually have. But the thing is that I always wanted to just be like good people to talk on the topic, you know, and that ends up being women or trans people or non-binary people. So if there was ever a man that was like correct for the subject, but I don't see where that would happen except for Pride.
And I think like, especially with the topic of kink, if Ireland gets to a point where people are comfortable talking about kink, where it's not like yucking your yum, I can't think of a better phrase than that.
Yeah, no,
then they can talk about the other stuff. Because right now we're like, and I think especially for women in Ireland, it is a misogynistic country. We've gotten so much better. It still is. There's a lot of layers. You know, you talk to anybody. I've talked to friends who until they worked here were like, oh my God, like the stories they would have from their workforce back home. And it's like, you don't even realize it because you're immersed in it. You know, like, and I've worked in places where men would have groped me and it's all like, ha ha ha. Like you had to just laugh it off. And that's only, you know, that's less than 10 years ago. And then you come over here and like, people are like, no, that's like a bad, that's not okay. And you're like, oh, or even how we, you know, how we kind of like, see sex is that we should be like coy and playful, so the whole thing of consent, so we're not even able to talk about what we like in the bedroom. So if we got to the point where we were able to talk about kink, that'll just funnel down where we'll be able to be like, okay, well, no, I'm not into kink, but I would like if you licked my balls or I would like if you did this when you're going down on me, you know, like if we get to that point, we'll be way more comfortable talking about the other stuff as well.
Certainly. And I think I've had like probably maybe when it comes to sex, like, you know, the thing is sex and kink are not the same thing. They're not synonymous, but of course they are linked and they are related. Kink isn't always necessarily sex, you know, but that's a whole different thing. But when it
comes- wait, let me pause you there. So if kink isn't always related to sexual activities, what else is it related to?
No, well, it might be.
This is me being an idiot, but in my head, it's like usually like in terms of sexy stuff.
Oh, and totally. And by the way, like these are questions that I will be asking at the show itself. So I'm only talking from my understanding. If anybody has a correction and they want to send it to me, do that. Be nice about it, please. But like, I'm just the host. I'm the host of the show. I get the experts in to talk about it. But as in my understanding, like, and also in my engagement in the kink world, which has been, I've dabbled a little bit. It's that, like, what I mean is that you might always be getting some kind of sexual gratification out of it, but it's not necessarily always a sexual thing that you're doing. Right. So it could be like there are so many different kinds of kinks, and then you get into fetishes as well. And fetishes are apparently different to kink. Apparently fetish is something, if you have a foot fetish, it means that a foot has to be present for you to get off. Whereas if you have, like, if you know, you're just into feet and you're just kinky about it, then, you know, you like it if a foot's there, but if it's not there, it's happening anyway. That's fine too, you know? So there's all these different kind of ways to get talking about it. But I do genuinely think that I've been quite privileged when it comes to both sex and like talking about sex and kind of kink and stuff. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because my parents, but they were always like really, really open. It was very much a household in which we could always talk about sex if we wanted to. Like, I had a conversation with my dad at 15 about blowjobs. Now, when I say that, what I mean is at 15, I was saying to my dad, I just don't understand why any woman would want to put a penis in their mouth. And my dad, bless him, was like, and I'm so glad that you feel that way, and long may it last. But but be that as it may, there will come a day that you do want to do it, or that you might want to do it, and that's okay, you know.
That's like, what he said. Oh, yeah, yeah. Amazing man.
Yeah, always a very, very open, like open kind of space. And like, I mean, even my first pregnancy scare, I went straight to my mother. She's a legend as well. Don't get me wrong. It's not as if like it would have come with so many complications if I had been pregnant. But what I mean is I was never scared to kind of like admit that I'm computer, sorry. What I mean,
email, and you've been like, shush.
Yeah, imagine, Jesus. I don't even know what that was. I turn my email notifications off. Anyway, whatever. I have ADHD, I digress. But what I mean is, I think that because of that, then it was very open space. I was never kind of scared to admit that I am a sexual being, you know,
because that's amazing. And I think that's fair.
I think so too, and I didn't realize that until kind of recently enough, I would say. Like, all my conversations then, I mean, from the age of, like, I've been like, I've definitely had a dirty mind since I was like fucking 8, you know what I mean? So I've always kind of like been a very it feels weird like saying at 8 that it was sexually motivated, but what I mean is like I've been very like there's always been that kind of like unashamed, unabashed pursuit of like openness and understanding of my body and so on in me. And so then, like, obviously once I was a teenager, like all the conversations with my friends were always about sex. I've been talking about sex for my whole life, like since I could remember talking. So that's great. But I do think that maybe I'm a little bit privileged in that regard, because I do, like, now that I listen to your podcast and stuff, and it's like, oh, not everybody has been like that. I see. Because, like, I've got friends that they hear that not only, like, would I give out to a man for, not only would I tell a man what I want from him in bed, but I would give out to him to a man for not even trying to make me come. Like, I've thrown men out of my house for not even giving it a go. Like,
yeah, and that's great. And that's, again, definitely rare, because I think a lot of Irish women see, and I do feel a bit guilty as well saying anything, because I haven't lived in Ireland for 7.5 years. So I hope things change as well. But you hear the stories. So it's like, and I know Ireland's trying to be better as well. So I do want to give it that sort of but a lot of Irish women my age anyway, were always told to be like amenable, polite. And like, you know, we're like people pleasers. So like, it never would have occurred to a lot of us until like listening to podcasts or seeing comedians or like seeing women like yourself, that you're like, oh, you'd always think it's your issue. Like, oh no, it's fine, it'll be grand. Like, go finish myself off in the bathroom type of thing. Like, you never realize you can communicate.
Ever since I've been having sex, it's been about, in fact, I'll admit it, more about my pleasure than male pleasure either. Like, anyway, I'm bisexual, so I do have sex with women and non-binary people and so on as well. But like, the main focus of my adult dating life has been men. Unfortunately, the devil's dick has a way of getting inside you. So that's just unfortunately how it's been. But the thing is as well, I hear stories about men, like when I'm having sex with a man, I expect for him to go down on me. And I would find it weird. I think you were talking about this on the pod recently. You were like, it's not that, or maybe you weren't, maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. But basically whoever it was saying that, like, it's not that, you know, that you'll be angry if it doesn't happen, but you'll go like, what was that all about? Like, why didn't you go down on me? And I know men that are like, I've said to men afterwards, like, oh, you're very good at that, you know, like, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, I love going down on a woman. And I've had men be like, most women won't let me go down on them. And I'm like, that is so sad, because like, obviously that comes from a misogyny and beauty standards and like an embarrassment, a shame around like their genitalia, their body. Even the pursuit of pleasure, like even the fact that, and there'd be any focus on them. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I've still got people pleaser tendencies, and but they're definitely separate from sex. Like,
well, I have two things to say about that. First thing with me, I've definitely, since I've been in America and like the podcast and everything, I did, because a guy one time messaged me saying that I was great at giving a blowjob. Not humble brag here, but like, I've never
given a blowjob without being told that I'm great at it.
So. Yeah, they just fucking say that anyway because they wanted it again.
Katie, every single one of them mentioned
I am good. Okay. Sorry, I was saying about myself. You see, there I go, putting myself down again. Typical Irish woman. I'm like, no, this old mouse, I got in pennies years ago.
No, exactly. It's just like, a myth that you're great at going down, man.
Like, yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah, as the Americans be like, I got that look. I had to Google what look. What. That was the only thing I Googled as well, like different techniques and stuff. Like, but so. He said that, and I said, like, I can't say the same to you because you didn't even bother. And then he was like, "Oh, I'm great at that. And like the next time, then he just did it for like a second, and I was like, nah, fuck this guy. But
It was you talking on the podcast.
Yeah. It's a British guy as well. Sorry, you should be eating me out even more, right? Okay.
Exactly. You owe me.
Yeah, you owe me some potatoes there, pal.
800 years of oppression and now this.
And now you don't even eat me out properly. What's this? You should be colonizing this vagina, okay?
Maybe he's not hungry after, you know, the famine taking away all our potatoes.
Yeah, he's full. Wait, so what was the other thing I had to say about it? You were saying, so then, So I had someone email in a long time ago and I can't remember, and they're a young person. And so they said that, so because I had said I wasn't really sure like what it's like in Ireland now. And now this young person is not from the city, and they specified that they're not from like Dublin or city place, but that they would never let men go down on them because they were so nervous about their own vagina because of what the girls were saying to them. So the
it's even worse. It's the women being to the
and
women.
She said, like, because I followed up and like, and now she obviously wants to be anonymous, but I followed up and being, and I was kind of like, and did the guys try? And she was like, oh yeah, like she was like, there's a lot of pressure for us to go down on them. So like, this is a young girl, but in fairness to the guy, he had tried, but I didn't want because I was so afraid from all the girls saying like, well, you know, you better make sure you're fully shaved and you might taste gross and don't like, and like, you know, there was all this like horrible vagina talk. And I can't remember the exact extent of the email, but I was like, oh, that's really eye-opening because for me, there was always a lot of pressure to like give them hand jobs, but not wank them. But there wasn't like, I was nervous about like, I'm trying to think like, it's just hard to hear that this girl feels like, okay, I have to blow these guys, but also I don't want them to do anything back because of like the, it seems to be like women spreading this as well, which
is exactly. It's like, it's women, like you're ruining the feminism for everybody.
And they're like, just young girls. So where are they getting it from? I don't know, but it just shows that there's still that shame around vaginas in Ireland.
And to be honest, they're probably getting it from either like porn or a boy that they have had sex with or whatever. Or like at the end of the day, it probably does still come from a misogynistic place. But when it's the girls then spreading it, which just, that happens so often. I'm sure you remember from when you were in school. Like, I mean, it's not as if I'm saying like, oh yeah, no, the girls in school were really nice to me and they always said that everything was easy and perfect. It definitely wasn't that, you know. It's a horrible thing. And like, we can only come away from that by educating and by being open, by having open conversations. But it's you know, it's how fantastic that she chose to get in touch with you. She obviously heard your podcast and was thanking you. And that's so great, you know. And so I guess that's what we need. I mean, am I saying that I'm a hero for having this show? Yeah. Yes, I am. would I call myself? Call myself some kind of sex angel? Sure. I'm trying to figure out how to mix hero and whore, and it's just not working. Horo.
But like that's the thing too. It's I even feel as like I'm so happy I'm in a long term relationship, and I thought about this yesterday because Casey James Talango. I have to shout him out for this because he has an amazing new bit. So everybody go check him out on Instagram. He's such a sweetheart. But he had a bit about his wife shaving her vagina. And she was like,
I'm so sorry to correct you, Katie, on your
vulva. Yes.
Vulva, for sorry. God's sake. Please, ladies, do not shave the inner wall.
Forget that's the inner. And that's why we're so confused. Because one time, so it was like, you're not meant to wash your vagina. And I thought vagina was vulva. So I was like, and then I got so confused. Then I learned all the terminology, so it was fine. But like,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for correcting you, but I'm just
not at all. You're dead right. This is meant to be partially educational. I say partially because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about half the time. So he has this bit of his wife shaving her vulva, her vagina lips,
her flaps,
her labia, her flaps.
Her hair.
And she kind of came out like da, but he was like in his bit, and it's so funny, he's like, how am I meant to respond to that? Because if I'm like, woohoo, the bush is gone, it's like I look like a bad guy. Like, I'm like, now it looks like I haven't liked it the whole time and putting pressure on her to shave. And then he was like, and the other response is where I'm like, no, you put that back on, I want a woman, not a girl. And he's like, so I just was like, cool. And then his joke is like, that wasn't the right answer too. But that is a good point to make, because it's like, I when he was saying it, I was like, thank God I'm in a long-term relationship, because me as a nearly 32-year-old woman still would find stressful having sex with guys. And like, I would get it, still get in my, I want to say that I wouldn't, but if I'm honest, I'd still be kind of like, well, is this shaved enough? But is it, because no. I don't like having it all shaved, but I would be in my head being like, is this, are they going to be okay with that? Or is that why he didn't go down? Or, no. or is it like too, is it too shaved? Is it a little too, I mean, that's the shit that would go into my head as a pretty secure 31-year-old woman.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I'm 31 too. 31 club. Yay. Are you a Libra as well? Are we the same person?
I'm a Libra.
Oh my God. I love it.
Well balanced.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, as well as that, because of that balance, constantly overthinking.
I overthink everything. It's so
annoying. But that's so interesting as well, because coming at it from not only as another, like, confident, but still insecure, you know, still a human in the world, 31-year-old woman, that like feminism is like a huge driver behind me, but still sometimes I do of course go like, oh, if I have a date then I should shave my legs. I find myself like having to remind myself daily or at least like weekly that I'm deliberately not doing things that I don't want to do if it's for somebody else. And so I sometimes will, if I like, let's say I have a date coming up and I'm like, oh shit, I need to shave. And then I'll stop myself and I'll be like, I don't need to shave. But do I want to? And then I will if I want to, and I won't if I won't. But like, you know, it's not. And there's some days that I want to and some days that I don't. When it comes to a bush, it's a weird one as well, the whole fully shaved thing, because I've got red hair on my head and it's strawberry blonde everywhere else. And that's the thing, is if I shave in order to leave, you know, the way people like to leave a little landing strip. If I leave a landing strip, it just, because it's so thin and so light, just looks like I missed a spot. So I end up kind of like feeling weird and taking it away anyway. And then I end up fully shaved. And I don't really have a preference, but I certainly am the kind of person that if a man expressed a preference, I'd be like, okay, I will just pick up this globe and I'll spin it and you can show me where in the world that I asked. Like, where did I ask your opinion on my genitals? I wouldn't feel it appropriate for a man to express an opinion about it unless the conversation was about that, and very openly so and very happily so.
Yeah, unless you were like, oh, I don't really mind what I do, what do you prefer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Leland's, he's like, I don't give a fuck, whatever. Oh, you know what though? He did recently...
Oh my God, he's cancelled.
No. And I mean, this is totally fine. Like, we're together, I think, 1 year and 4 months, maybe. And he's never said anything. But he said recently that when he, because he, I like when I'm being eaten out for them to be like, well, you know.
Yeah.
You know that sometimes. But he had just shaved his beard. So mine was just like a little bit too long that it was like ripping at his face, so that's totally fine. I'm like, yeah, I can trim it up a little bit, like, so that's, you can have those when you're in a lot where you're secure. And he's like, oh, if that would be okay, because we're like on holidays and gonna like be doing a lot of sex stuff obviously, so it's I mean, once it's not said in a way that's degrading or make you feel bad or whatever, and it's not like he's saying like take it all off, he's just like, oh yeah, like if you want me to do this style, this is like rubbing against my face because he shaved his beard. When he has a beard, it's fine. It's just having the crack, the bow hairs.
I love it as well. I love it like when later on they're like, I can smell you in my beard. I'm like, oh, I love it. I love it. But I digress. Interestingly enough, with those kind of things, is that these, when it comes to kink, right? That is a conversation that is more likely to happen in kink, because you're already talking about like, what are you into? What are you not into? You know? And I still, when in a kink thing, I still, if it's a kink engagement, I don't know, let's say I'm on a kink site. I'm not on any at the moment, but like I have tried out FetLife and stuff like that. And so in those realms, it's kind of much more, well, actually I'm on Feels, which is like a kink app. I believe that's made it to the States, or maybe it came from the States to here.
It's definitely here. I only know because a friend who was like, just kept dating girls who wanted relationships. So he went on to that. Because I don't,
I hate that. That annoys me so much. You can't monopolize all the apps. They can't always just be for hookups. Like, it's so annoying.
I guess so. I guess he was told to go on to it because the people there are more okay with vocalizing and being like legit. So I think his experience was he kept saying, I'm not ready for a relationship, I just want casual. And then the problem is sometimes for people pretend that's okay and then it's not okay. And then a month later you're in the fucking doghouse. Yeah. So someone suggested that because it was like more open and more kink friendly and like some threesomes and stuff like that. So I don't even know if he ever met anyone off it, but he said that the conversations were very quickly like, what are you looking for? What do you want? So he said that that was great, that element of it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's fantastic. And so, yeah, in those kind of spaces, if you're having those conversations, but it's still on field. If someone started a conversation with, like, it's still got, it has got some of the, it's almost as if the straight white men are bad, but like, you know, it's, you do have them kind of like emigrating over from like Tinder being like, I'm actually here for something casual. That's why I'm on the sex app. It's like, that's not what it is. It is a kink friendly open app. And so yes, absolutely. If that's what you're here for, that's fine. It's not a problem that you're here for something casual, but you can't project it onto everybody else. Like, the reason everybody else must be here is because they're a fuckboy also. No, yeah. You can't have them all. You cannot have them all. But
also think that men will say, like my guy friends will say, oh no, I did tell these women and stuff like that. But what they think is telling isn't really telling. So do you know, yeah, like I mean, they're like oh yeah, I say like I'm not looking for a relationship right now and stuff like that, but it's like, yeah, but then if it's a few months and you've been seeing each other all the time and you're hanging out, I'm like, actions for women are larger than words. You need, like, and I think that's the big thing, they need to pull back on some of their actions and be more legit with their words. Like if you say I'm not going to be ready for a relationship for years, I'd be like, yeah, see you later, grand. Exactly. But that's the thing, they kind of don't want you to say see you later either.
I know. I do find though, you see, like people tend to say that the reason that men are more able to do that or more want to do that, as in they're more like capable of dating someone for ages and having the situationship kind of scenario, is because women are more emotional than men, and men just are less emotional, they don't care as much. I genuinely think it's because they kind of like, it's like a transference thing. It's a nurturing thing that they need. They need a mammy, but they don't want to have only one mammy, and they don't want to have only one option. So it's a combination, I think, of like fuckboy tendencies, misogyny, lack of respect for women, or lack of respect even sometimes for themselves, but also that they, that like to them, it's not as important to them to have, you often find it with like men who are widowed, like they'll get a new relationship or a new wife within a year or whatever. It's this big thing that happens, and it's very much because like men are used to being constantly like coddled for a lot, you know, all the time, no matter how little they give back, you know. So to them it's not a big deal that they're coddling you. They will text you every night and say goodnight and still be like, we're actually just casual, you know. Whereas to us it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to be like, I don't have the time. I do not have the time to be like, spent, you know, like texting you constantly. I don't necessarily need a relationship or anything. I'm past the stage where I want to just be dating and fucking just for no reason. I'd like to know that I could go somewhere, you know? So I don't need it to definitely be going somewhere, but like, I want to know that I could go somewhere. I don't have the time to be like, just like, basically in a relationship with someone that's then at the end of the day like, no thank you, like why?
Yeah, and I think a lot of those fuckboy guys, let's say if they are like invest their money and they're like upset when it's a bad return, it's like, why can't you understand that a woman would be upset that she's invested this time and effort and it just turned out, yeah, it was always going to be a bad return. Like, you should tell me I was investing in failing stocks here.
I know. They also don't understand why we wouldn't want to meet up straight away, like from an app. Like, they're like, oh, do you want to come around to mine? It's like, sorry, no. Like, I live in gestures vaguely at the world. You're like, what? No, look at all the things going around caused, but mainly by you and your people, sir. You know, it's like, I get very kind of pissed off about that as well. Is that like, even if they understand, like if they're straight away, if they're like, oh yeah, no, actually, sorry, fair enough. Of course, I'll chat to you a little bit more. I'll kind of give them that chance. But it shows me, if you're asking to meet up too early before we've started talking, or if you feel like, I mean, a lot of them feel entitled to it, where they're like, I'm actually better in person. It's like, no, duh. Like, everybody is better in person. You know, that's not novel. You're not special. Everyone's better in person. I just literally don't have the time to be murdered or bored. I don't have the time. That's what I put. That's
I never get my shopping list done if I'm dead.
I know. Like, true. No, but truly, that is what I tell men. I'm like, look, if you're not thinking about this, then that means we probably won't get along, because those kind of guys that are like, oh, I'm not a murderer, by the way. Wink, wink. That's not funny. It's also exactly what a murderer would say. And like,
statistically, you are my biggest predator right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, if you are making jokes about it, or if you're getting your knickers in a twist because I don't want to come meet you after 2 days, and you're like, oh, well, I don't want a pen pal. It's like, okay, well then, like, leave. But it shows that we're not going to get along anyway, because you're not really concerned with like putting yourself in my shoes. It's not like I need a man to be my protector or anything, but if I'm walking down the street with a man and something happens, I don't want him to be like, whose side do I take? You know, I want it to be like the man recognizes what misogyny is. You know what I mean?
That's a great point to make. And I think too, you saying like, I want to talk for a little while before we meet up, and if that's like texting, voice messages, phone call, and that person isn't respecting that first initial boundary, they're not going to respect any of your other boundaries.
Totally, totally. I mean, consent is key. And look, this is just like turned from a sex podcast into a blogging to work a bitching about men podcast, which I don't want to do. I love men. I love men that are not, you know, rapists, serial killers, etc. They really do let a lot of them give them a bad rap. So that sucks. But to get back to, like, I mean, in terms of the if we're talking about like the shaved flaps versus etc., that is, I think, again, it is similar. It's like this entitledness of like, you should do things for, you should put yourself in danger for me, you should change your body for me. It's like, as soon as I spy even a moment of that, I'm like, I'm pissed off. Oftentimes it's too late and I'm pissed off that I've even let them into my apartment, but
at that stage,
you know, I want to ride. So
but it's just, you know, I think it's like hard, like, so like all the men listening, obviously you guys listen to this podcast, we're more than likely not talking about you.
And
when you say all men and they're like, oh well, you wouldn't say that about all whatever other, and it's like, yeah, but you're not a minority. It's not like we're living on an island and it's 70 women versus one man. You know, so it's like, and there does need to be a lot of changing. And I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a comedian in the comedy world, and there's so many allegations of assault. There's so many, there's so many levels to it. There's so many, like, taking off condoms without permission, which is what was done to me, you know. And then there's other girls that I know that were like, you know, at a comedy party and assaulted while drunk. And then these guys are all like, oh my God, they're making, and they perpetuate this fear to talk out about it, because especially for, and I'm sure it's the same for any job, but if you're a young woman in a new job, it's hard to speak out about that. And you turn and blame yourself. You say, I was drunk, or I didn't say no quick enough, or whatever, or like you let yourself get taken advantage of. So it's like, anyway, we know all about that. And there's all of these levels. What was my point?
It's so, I think your point is that it's like just insidious, and it goes from that level of me thinking, like me, a man, thinking that it's okay to be like, oh, I'm not going down on a woman unless she's fully shaved and she's wearing matching underwear and bra.
Oh, I knew what I was going to say. So there's all these levels. And I think if men can understand that, we're not angry at everybody, but this, and it's a totally fair thing to kind of be like, we need to change this, and we need to all learn to communicate, all learn to talk. But the fact that men can also be like, oh well, I think you should shave your vagina, or like, and I'm sure if it's, we're talking about it done in a nasty way or in like a shaming way, but there's no equivalent for men. Women have to be like held to this standard of like body hair and how we look, and they don't even know that, down to the level of the eyebrows, paying for period shit, paying for birth control, and it's like they're not holding themselves to the same standard, you know. They're not
a little bit, like you were talking about dirty dicks a while ago, and I was like on the podcast, and I was like, yeah, it's so preposterous. And those are the same guys, it's the guys that don't even think of, like, you know, they don't even think of washing their dick, that would come to you and be like, oh no, I don't actually, yeah, no, I left the date because she was a bit fat or something like that. Like, are you joking? Are you joking?
Guy who says that is usually bigger than the girl as well. I've had a couple.
Not that there's anything wrong with being fat, by the way. It's just there literally isn't. But it's just that it is these men like not holding themselves to the same standards at all. And also, I think it's important to say like it's the men when it comes to these kind of conversations, right? As in like conversations about like, oh yeah, she didn't shave her pussy or whatever, like those kind of things. We aren't the one that men are saying that to. Men are saying that to their male friends. Mm-hmm. And if you're a male friend that would never say that and knows why it's bad and knows that it's that attitude that leads to like the rape culture and so on, like, you know, rape culture triangle, the racism triangle, there's like, it's, you know, rape and murder are at the top of the triangle. But it starts with rape jokes down the bottom and then it leads all the way up to in stages. And so if you stand, but if you're the kind of guy that's like, oh my God, that's a horrible thing to say, but you don't say it out loud and you don't hold your bros accountable. And then in the end, you're like, oh my God, I'm so surprised that my friend who has talked about women nothing but derogatorily for years and years, for the entire time that I've known him. Because to be honest, right, I think I know who did that horrible thing to you, and I'm so sorry that that happened to you. It's disgusting. And I had been talking about him in the scene for a good long time, telling his male bros, like, yo, you've got a rapist on your hands there. And it's not cool. And then later on, they're like, what? They're like, oh my God, I didn't know. Yeah, you did.
And they just,
I told you.
They just gaslight you too as well. Not necessarily the friends, but the guy who does these things kind of gaslights a lot, mm-hmm. like, oh, women be saying this, women be doing this. And I know I even feel a part of the problem in that situation because, so for me, that was like 7 years ago, but also as a baby.
The sad thing is that like, I of course don't mean to make you uncomfortable, put you on the spot. I am saying it because I think that I think that this is someone that I've said it about. But the sad thing is that I could be wrong and it could be somebody else entirely. Like, you know, and that I'm like, oh, there's another person that's known for stealthing. And then later came out as, you know, it turned out that he was real bad. Anyway, whatever. Sorry.
Well, yeah. And like, it was like, you know, where you feel like you realize years later when you learn about feminism and internalized misogyny. And so for me, he had made so many anti-women jokes to me. So why, at the time when I didn't correct him, I didn't say anything. And now I'm a different person and I know to kind of use my, and like, that's a big thing I learned in therapy was like, use your voice when you think something's like, you don't agree with it and you think it's wrong. And even afterwards, like, cause when he laughed about it, I was just like, oh, I was in my head. I went, oh, well, it must be okay. And then even as he continued to tell jokes about women and like, he'd be busting with me, being like, these bitches be crazy. And I'm like, we didn't say it like that. Cause you know, that's not his accent, but
yeah.
he might as well have said like that sort of, I won't get into everything, but at the time, cause I was only like 24 and I was just like, oh yeah. But I was in that whole thing of like, oh, that, you know, like he's an advocate for like women lying and stuff like that. And because I'd heard him talk about that so much, I was like, I don't even want to get involved. I don't want any of this drama. So I just like slowly distanced myself. Now, if I could go back in time, but I was only started comedy 6 months. So if I go back in time, I'd love to have the balls to have said like, that's not okay. That's not also then go find out that he owes me money for all those fucking tests and HIV and shit like that. I don't, you know.
Yeah,
and then you feel guilty when you hear other stories because you're like,
no. Oh. Yeah, and you see, it's always the shame is on the woman. Like, you can't do right really by doing wrong. You can't do right by being bare, but by having a bare pussy. You can't. I don't even love the word pussy, but sometimes I do. You know, but like, you know, you can't do right by doing wrong. You can't. It's like the Madonna whore thing. Like, the onus is always on the women. To do, sorry, you were raped, so what were you wearing? Oh, you were raped, why didn't you report? Oh, you were raped, why didn't you report? And then if you do report, then you're not believed by the exact same people that told you to report. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's like this just never-ending circle of misogyny and not believing. And so that's another thing, is that like, it's not just the violence that happens to us in the first place, making us think like, oh, we're ashamed and we don't want to admit that we even had sex or that we didn't, or, you know, like, you know, we kind of internalize it that way. But it's also the knowledge that we won't, like, fundamentally, we're always going to be taken down by our peers, by the media, other women, their male cohorts, etc. It's always going to be like up for question whether we are a trustable source of information. So yeah, it is, it's a very, and like, actually, to come back to kink, that's part of what I love about like these, it's part of what I love about your podcast and open conversations about sex in general and kink, is that like it's all about the consent and the boundaries and stuff. Because I love the way that you talk about Leland, and like, it's very clear that he's completely cool with you talking about whatever he's into, and like that you'll talk about what you're into and so on. And it takes away that kind of like feeling of spookiness around it, you know. It's very much an open thing. As long as you ask me to do it, and or I've been asked, do I want to do it or whatever, then let's try it, why not, you know. But like, yeah, consent so key, and communication.
I think that's a really good point, because I guess with a kink, it's like, you know, it's like kinky, you know. I don't even know how to explain it other than that just sounds fun and like bold and different. But the main thing, and anyone I've talked to about, like any of my friends, it's like, yeah, consent, you ask, you say what you want, you have your like safe word. And it's funny because for us, we're like, oh, that's so kink is so wild and bold, but actually it's consent is the first thing, whereas actually with a lot of non-kink sex, consent can be quite at the question, where it's like they end up doing things that you didn't really ask because it's in the spur of the moment, or you didn't double check if they're into that, and then the person is quite like, and it all happens so fast. So actually in a kink world where you're going, okay, I like anal plugs, I like a finger in the bum, I like being choked, I like all of this, and actually a lot of that stuff happens in non-kink sex where the person didn't agree to it before.
100%. And that's where you get into like dangerous territory, where it ends up being a sexual assault or whatever. I've had again, I'm like making myself out to be, or not, I'm not making myself out to be, I am, like, I'm realizing more and more when around these conversations that like I am just very either lucky or millet, like, I mean, I don't know where I get the audacity, but it was gifted to me, I suppose. But like, I've had many conversations with men where literally I've told them, like, men that I would, for all intents and purposes, count as like nice guys, good guys, you know, where they've tried to initiate sex and I've said no, and then they tried to initiate it again and I'm like no, and then they tried to initiate it a third time, I'm like, did I fucking stutter? And I've actually told them, look, you're lucky that I'm such a loud bitch, and that I'm so like, that I'm so able to, that I'm like, that I'm brave enough and open enough to say no a third time, and to tell you, like, to tell you off. Because if I wasn't, and I was the kind of woman, not that I'm shaming this kind of woman, this is the world, that the world breeds this kind of woman, the amenable, the one that's polite, the one that says yes, the one that doesn't argue, you know, if I was that kind of woman, you would have been a sexual assailant today, and you wouldn't have known that. You wouldn't have
I was that woman, and I remember having a joke about it online, and people were not happy with it. But a big part of Irish culture is go on, go on, go on, and a big part of my like flirtation was no, 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 and then I'd feel less guilty if they kind of like pressured me into it. And it wasn't until coming over here I was like, fuck me, I didn't even realize I was in the circle of perpetuating this kind of like. And I was just talking to a friend back home about it, and they just said the same thing, like, now they've moved to a different country, but how they didn't even realize this kind of like no, 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 oh, okay. That we've
in
all
fairness kind of- now, in fairness, Katie, that's not the first time that you said it, right? And the thing is that like I'm like, okay, yeah, definitely there is that thing in Irish culture, because that's very like mammy-ish, very like, oh no, I'll just sit here in the dark and you do whatever, I'll do whatever you want, you know, like. But I do think that, like, you know, media, pop culture, rom-coms and stuff like that is full of a lot of that kind of like, oh, she didn't want it, but I made her want it, like, or whatever, you know. There is a lot of that in American culture as well. I don't want it to all be like, oh, America's better. I mean, at the moment, you're actually very poorly placed in comparison.
I know. I need to go back to Ireland for my abortions.
I know.
Exactly. Even though if I have a baby, I mean, if I got pregnant now, I'd just be like, I don't know. Actually, you know what? No. I don't know.
That's such a great joke. I'd have to go to Ireland for my abortion. Like, you know, if you know the context of the joke, that's absolutely hilarious. I love that. Oh my God, that's so fun.
It's insane. But
it's grim, but it's
no, but it's true. And you are right. There is a lot of that. And I think about a lot of the men that I've dated via Irish or American, or even a different nationality that I can think off the top of my head, a lot of them actually kind of bullied me into dating them. But it was just because I wasn't really sure. And I kind of like you wanted to get to know them. And they were like, go on. Oh, I'm coming. I'm going to meet you at the show, or I'm coming over to your job. And I kind of.
Oh my God, boundary.
Yeah. When I look back, a lot of those guys like didn't take no for an answer. And I kind of ended up in a relationship because I was worn down. And I remember my dad saying that to me like a couple of times. I was like, and he was like, yeah, the type of guy you're going for, and it's like a personality trait where they wear you down to get what you want, because it's easier than just to like to shut them up. You just kind of do what they want. And it was like, oh my God. Yeah. And
it's such a nightmare. But it is that particular one where like it's sad, because now not that I'm saying like, oh, they're the most innocent of men. Like if they were trying to coax me, like, you know, no means no, and yeah, okay, maybe then in a few minutes if you're like, are you sure, and then the woman is like, ah, actually, do you know what, go on, lob it into me there, like, that's not the same as being coaxed, you know. But like, coaxing is not consent, you know. If you get sex because you just wouldn't let her, saying like, even if you did take no for an answer the first time, and then the second time, and then the third time, and then the fourth time, and then the fifth time, then that's the sixth time. It's not you not taking, or it's not you taking yes for the opposite of no. It's you having worn them down to that point. But it is kind of sad that like I've had to tell men, like, you have me to thank for the fact that you're not a rapist today.
Yeah,
congratulations. Like,
even as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to things where guys would like push, like kiss you and grab you, and you're like, oh, I don't, and then but before you're even able to say no, they're just like all over you, and it's kind of happened so fast that you're like, okay, I'll go with it. And yeah. I'd say that's like, and that's, and then the other thing too with the like, just because something was going down recently, and a person said, they made such a great point, because you're always trying to defend yourself when it comes to like sexual assault. And the other person was like, it doesn't even matter like the details. When you're too drunk, you're not able to consent. And and the guy's argument is usually, well, I was drunk too. And my argument to that is, usually when women are too drunk, they're like falling all over the place. They're falling asleep. Like, you can tell. If you're too drunk, you're falling asleep. You're falling over this place. You don't have the aim to put like, and one of the other girls said this. She was like, they don't have the aim. They shouldn't have, A, they shouldn't be able to get it up, or B, they shouldn't, if you're too drunk, you shouldn't be able to have the aim to put a penis in a vagina. And so like, you know, you're having sex with a girl who's falling asleep, or you're having sex with a girl who's too drunk, and that's, you're able.
Because, yeah, that's, yeah. Like, even if we take physicality out of it, that's, again, that's not, I do think that that's a product of society, not necessarily like the reason that a woman's first thought when she's too drunk isn't, I'm going to, like, it's a lot of women's first thoughts when they get really, really drunk is, I want to have sex. Hello, guilty as charged. Like, you know, but I mean, it's not, I want to have sex, even if the person is inebriated to the point of not being able to say yes or no to it.
Yeah, there's no story of a girl getting on a man and trying to put a pump to his penis and sitting on top of it and riding him while he's asleep.
And then again, I don't want men like that are listening to think that like we're not going to believe them if they are sexually assaulted. Of course, men are sexually assaulted. By the way, mainly men are sexually assaulted by other men, but I digress.
and there was a story, I remember hearing a story, so, and I mean, like, I say that because that's it's much more easy, it is more easy to assault a woman drunk than a woman to like, unless she was like, I don't know, some guy's gonna write in some story where it's like, I was tied up to a chair or whatever, of course, but
of course things happen, but statistically, like, that is, you know, the main thing. But like, when it comes to even alcohol, like, I've been in situations where I'm really, 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 really drunk, and technically I my consent shouldn't have been taken as consent, but I know the next day that the man would have known at the time that if I wasn't like, and I'm sorry, that's, I'm getting down a dangerous road here, like, it's usually, it's an evenness of drunkenness, you know, there, it's like I've never, if you're more sober, to the point, and they're drunk and you don't know them, or you do know them and you know that, like, if they were to be having sex with somebody else, you wouldn't count it as consent, then maybe.
Exactly. It's just an extra thing.
At the end of the day, I have, like, I mean, there's so many, like, I don't know one woman that hasn't been sexually assaulted. Yeah. And it's not one guy going around doing the raping, guys. Okay, I'm sorry to say, it's not one man. So you need to talk to your bros. Like, you need to talk to your bros. It's not always. It's actually pretty much never being dragged down a lane, raped and murdered. That's statistically very, very low. It's always like someone you know when you're locked, when you're at a party. It's always someone you know that you're in a relationship with. You know, that kind of thing. And as well, the interesting thing is, like, people go, oh well, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, I like the throes of the moment. Of course, you like the throes of the moment. Develop a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of exposition for the throes of the moment.
Yeah, get a few text messages going. Get a rapport. You can't just throes the moment with someone you barely know who's drunk in a corner.
Yeah, the throes of the moment is sexy in Bridgerton. Do you know what I mean? Like, the throes of the moment.
And even then, they're not drunk. You see in Bridgerton, they're like, they've also built a rapport because they've been doing eye fucking for about 7 episodes. Exactly. And they've done like a little dirty letter.
Yeah. Ooh, yes, exactly. Like, I mean, and to me, honestly, it's actually really sexy when a man, like, goes like, can I do this? I am bi. I do have sex with women as well. It's just that I don't have to talk about them in the consensual context because they're not rapists. I'm so sorry. But like, I love when someone that I'm fucking or that I'm kissing is like, can I do this? It's like, oh my God. Like, you can see their eyes light up and be like, can I?
Yeah, it's super sexy. You know? And
or will you, or could you put it in my bowl or whatever? Like, or could you, like, do you mind? Or even like, I mean, spanking, I guess, is one where it's like a little bit of light spanking is okay without asking. This is in my opinion, not everyone's the same, so you should probably, if you're in doubt, ask. But for instance, like, a bit of a slap across the face wouldn't be something that I think that you can just do out of nowhere. But there was, like, recently that I was fucking a man and I was like, here, can I slap you across the face? And he was like, yeah, go on. Now, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just like, it's in the same way that they like spanking me. I like just like little, like, oof, bold, right? And so I did it. And then I was like, if you want, you can give me like a light. And he's been spanking me all throughout. And I was like, if you want, you can give me a little like slap on the face back if you want. And he stopped because he was upset at the idea of hitting a woman. Which is, I mean, that's really nice. But I love that. And as well as that, my favorite way to like initiate a kiss, or the throes of the moment, if you will, is like, if I'm sitting there and I'm like, the sexual tension is high and I really want to kiss them, or I want them to kiss me and I can't wait any longer, then that to me is the throes of the moment, when I go, can I kiss you? Like, you know, yeah. or are you going to kiss me or whatever? Like, that's the throes of the moment too, you know, like, you can have verbal throes of the moment.
I agree with you because a hot throw of the moment would be, let's say if you're kissing and it's like you're at a house party, you're both drunk, you're kissing, everybody's gone to bed and they're on top of you kissing, and then they go, you know, like, do you want to have sex, or can I go down here? What, I'm not doing a great job. I just realized I just didn't do justice, but you know, when they ask, it's really sexy.
Exactly. Or even if when they stop and they go like, yeah, you want this, right? Or is, yeah, this,
or are you sure?
Yeah, stuff like that. It's like, oh, I've never been more sure.
Yeah, like, or especially when they say, do you want this? I'm like, yeah, I want it.
Yes, yeah, plow me. Like, you know what I mean? I think that people, the people that are like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Ask consent at every level. It's like, you're bad in bed.
Yeah. And like, Leland has, you know, when we first date, he was like, can I kiss you? And I thought that was really sweet. And then... with everything sexual we have done, he has asked, or he has outlaid before, like, hey, I don't know if you're into this, but like, I'm actually into this, so if you ever want to consider it. So everything that, and at the time I was like, no thank you, sir. But then like a month later, I'm like, you know what, let's try that bum stuff or whatever.
Totally. And as well as that, like,
you need a moment to process it.
Yeah, and I can understand why people are like, oh, that seems like it'll be like real scheduled or whatever. But yeah, when it comes to these kind of things where there's a danger of, unleashing, unearthing some kind of trauma, or there's a danger of, especially with women, sorry that we're all this focus is such like a heteronormative fucking men and women sex, but you know, there is a lot of trauma that comes with, like, there's a person that, like, I fuck him every now and then, and like, he's very understanding of the fact that sometimes it's not about like you haven't done anything wrong, it's just that whatever you did reminded me of a time that something wrong was done to me, and so I just needed a minute, and now I'm back, you know, and that's fine as well. You can take like a little breather and like understand each other, and then it's so much sexier then when you get going again, because you feel so nurtured. And that is another thing that, again, coming back to kink, that's something that, so it's about the consent being, because some people are, you know, they're into being like denigrated, like humiliated, and stuff that is in real life would be really, really horrible. It's very appealing to some people, and so in order to have something like that, obviously if you want to engage in that with somebody, then that means that either you get something out of the humiliating part, or you like them enough that you want to give them what they want. And so in order to do that, truly, you really should be having a conversation to be like, okay, so what way is it that you like it? Like, I mean, this, that, and the other. Like, I love to be spanked and my hair pulled, but I hate being choked. And so, like, I tell people that, but I shouldn't have to. I mean, I if you choke me without asking, then I'll stop you and be like, no, like, don't do that. And also, by the way, never do that again without asking. It's very, very simple. But that's that can be applied in any kind of, you know, like bigger, more hardcore, I suppose you would call it, scenario. If you're engaging in kink, and engaging in, like, especially if, you know, if it's like with sexual activity, then it's very much because you want to find something in yourself and explore, and you want the other person to find something in themselves and explore. And so in order to find that, you need to verbally explore it. Like, if you're not actually talking and having a little, like, you know, okay, here's what I'd like, here's what I wouldn't like, or during or afterwards, like, oh yeah, that was nice, but next time I'd love if you could a little bit more or a little bit less, or whatever, then you're not actually in pursuit of any pleasure of any kind. So like, what's the point, really? But there is the aftercare as well, like that nurturing thing. It's about like nurturing yourself and having self-respect, and like, so therefore wanting to pursue whatever makes you happy and feel sexy, but also a respect for your partner, like, that kind of like aftercare is huge in kink. Apparently it's like this big thing where, you know, if you have a sub and a dom relationship, I've especially heard about it in like rope, like shibari, like rope and bondage kind of circles, where the tying is, you know, the tying isn't about sex. It's like, no, like, you know, the male tier doesn't even like get it up or anything, or have a wank or anything like that. But it is about humiliation, objectification, and that. And the woman is completely relinquishing herself, and to the point where she feels safe doing that. And that's why it's nice for her to do it and kind of like have that kind of like exorcism, I suppose. But then afterwards, it's all about love and cuddling and holding and, like, you know, bringing the love back into the room and making everybody feel like, I don't actually think you're an object. That was just a bit of fun that we were engaging in, you know?
It's so, kind of like balancing it back out.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, that's just one example of the rope bondage thing. But consent is not only like sexy and kinky and necessary for sex and for kink, but it is also like a certain kind of foreplay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely important in a way that's like, I don't know. I lost my point. I've got ADHD.
I also think what you're like, a great thing that you're highlighting just when we're talking about all this is like, made me think that we can put, you can put a penis, or I could put a penis in my vagina, or someone can put it, or someone who has a penis can put it in a vagina. So we can be connected and in this like, but still not be able to talk about what we want and what we like and feel. So you can feel, you can be naked and have the sex, but still feel embarrassed to use the words. And it's like, that's backwards. We should be using the words first.
Like, you're doing something that's so close and intimate, and yet you're so far apart, like, you know, in your minds. And that's, you do find that people, like, a lot of the reasons that men go to sex workers, as in, I'm talking, of course, like, you know, well, no, like men, any men, like a lot of people, but especially in this world, it is mainly men that go to sex workers. But that's okay. If you're a woman, you go to sex workers, then fab, you know, great, do it. But you do hear about men, they're like, oh, I really want to try something, but I don't think my wife will go for it. And they're scared to have the conversation with their wife either because they are underestimating just how kinky a woman can be, or they're ashamed of whatever it is that they want, and like they think that it'll change like their wife's opinion of them. There are some assholes that are like, oh, I won't do something with my wife because it would change my opinion of her, which, I mean, go fuck yourself, literally. But go fuck yourself then. do it yourself. But you know, you do get those sad stories of men that are like, I'd like this, and then if you were to tell the wife, I'm sure that like in most cases, I would say, even if she's like not really into it, she'd probably love you enough to give it a go, you know.
Yeah, and she'd probably be like, I think as well, she's probably like, oh, this would be great to try something different or new, but just is the same, having the same worries or fears of kind of like afraid that, you know, like all that inherent shame. So what would you say is like the definition of kink?
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I'm going to defer that question to one of the guests that I have on the show when we have the show. Because, no, and the reason is that like I do have an idea of what I think it is, and I do think that I'm right about it, but I really don't want to, I don't want to get it wrong and then have people like taking my word for it when that could do more harm, or it could annoy some people that are in the scene and that actually, you know, whatever.
Well, so, I looked it up and it said a sharp twist or curve in something that is otherwise straight.
Okay, well, that means like things like.
Well, okay, so it says here in human sexuality, kinkiness is the use of non-conventional sex practices, concept, or fantasies. The term derives from the idea of bend in one's sexual behavior to contrast such behavior with straight or vanilla sexual mores and proclivities. Why do all the words have to be so big sometimes or weird?
I think that that's really interesting because it's like, okay, if you take that dictionary definition, right? Then it's like, okay, well, what's vanilla sex? That's like people picturing like when a man and a woman love each other very much, they have, and when they also love God and they're married, you know, like that's, you know, that's the kind of like straight vanilla missionary idea of sex. Unfortunately, a lot of like, and by the way, I love porn. I'm not someone that's like, oh, porn is always toxic and bad. It absolutely isn't. By the way, pay for your porn, just public service announcement. Pay for only, I say there's no ethical consumption under capitalism except for OnlyFans. Pay for OnlyFans, pay for your porn. But, you know, the thing is that if you looked at porn as in like straight people having sex in porn, a lot of the times it's actually quite rough and quite like the woman is not getting anything out of it. I mean, she's screaming as if she is, but like, she's like, oh yeah, yeah. But like, she's not actually having a good time. And it's all very, very rough and stuff like that. It's like, well, we should be moving away from that kind of model of like, you know, straight vanilla sex is like a woman is a sex doll and for a man to fuck. And so if kink is moving away from that, then I'm all for it.
Also, I'm looking at it now, like, I don't think kink is, wait, what did it say? So it said, from conventional sex practices, but like from all of my friends and people I know, and obviously I'm in New York, I'm like, well, no, if that's the case, then missionary sex is the kink, because most of my friends and people I know are into like loads of different things and loads of, you know, you meet people here who are into all different types of walks of life when it comes to sex, then just I think none of them would be just into missionary.
Yeah, I mean, like, that is something that's very much, I think maybe we're even coming away from that just naturally as a society, because, like, I mean, there is, that's a very boomer image, isn't it? Like, oh, yeah, she just lays there and thinks of Ireland, like, you know,
okay, I'll be making the tea in 5 minutes.
Yeah, oh, my God, devastating. I mean, it's just such a non-fun idea of sex in general. Yeah, and I think that as well, that people do, that's an interesting thing that I will definitely get into in the show, is like, does it need to be really extreme for it to be kink, or is it just like, you know, because I would say, like, to me, to be honest, to me, it's like, define it as you want, as long as everybody's comfy and happy and everything's consensual, then fine. I'm not going to be like a Puritan about the word kink. Like, oh no, she just thinks she's kinky because she likes to be spanked. Like, let her think she's kinky then. Yeah. Like, what harm is it doing you?
Exactly.
But like, I mean, I'm sure that there probably are like levels of kink, as in like hardcore and so on. And you do see that on field, actually, where you get men that are there because they want a threesome. And so they're like, I'm really kinky. And it's like, no, you just want something that's actually quite conventional, but you just want it with more people. Yeah. Like, that's not the same as being, it does, you know, sometimes threesomes end up being quite kinky naturally. But it's not necessarily that you're into kink because of it. It's, I don't know, it's probably different levels. So I don't want to sound like an authority on it. I want to invite the authorities on it to speak.
You'll invite the authorities, and that sounds like you're having the police over. You'll invite
I would never. I would never.
And so that, well, so anybody who wants to know more about kink, they'll be able to go to your show. They'll be able to. But for anybody listening to this who can't go to their show, is there any advice other than getting on field for people who want to explore more kink that you know about that you could like say, is there like groups or pages or places?
So the answers to that are twofold. First of all, of course, yeah, if you can't come to the live show in Dublin, like if you don't live here or whatever, I understand that you're like, oh, I'd love to go, but... So we're going to be, we're recording every show, and I will be releasing them. The show is a lot of hard work, guys. So please do support in any way that you can. Follow the show, even if you can't come to it, that kind of thing. I'd love that. We're recording it. I'm going to have them up on Patreon, so you'll be able to get them for like less than what it would cost to go see them live. So you'll still be able to see it. So I would definitely recommend following it and keeping up to date with us on that if you're interested in, not just in kink, in intersexual feminism, in me. You really like me, that kind of thing. Where would I start if I wasn't, if like without it being kind of like that I'm going to a show specifically about it and then that's it and it's over. That's interesting. I think that like Google, even though it can be very not our friend, is our friend in certain in a lot of these ways. What I would say is definitely whether it like no matter your gender or your sexuality, I would definitely say to make sure that there's a good few sources. So if you find a really cool page that's like this is what it is, then maybe try and make sure that like that model of it, because you know I'm just worried about people like accidentally stumbling upon like incels and being like this is me being kinky, and really it's just a really bad like men's rights group. It's tough. Yeah, with like finding the porn that you like, you just have to keep on looking until you find something that you like, and where it doesn't feel like you've assaulted someone just to have looked at it, kind of thing. I would also say Instagram is fucking great for it. It's really good. Instagram pages, Facebook groups, kink Twitter, like all that kind of stuff. If Tumblr was still around, goddamn capitalism taking Tumblr away, you know, those, it's like social media is great for that stuff. There's a lot of sex educators, kink educators and so on. You mentioned Shauna Scott earlier. Now, Shauna wouldn't really be like an authority on kink. She has Sex Chuppa, which is an online sex shop that sells like sex toys and stuff like that. But she's extremely open. And I mean, she's like very, very open to discussions of kink and very knowledgeable about kink, even if she's not necessarily like, you know, posting pictures of herself in full clad in leather all the time, you know what I mean? I would start probably with that. Maybe look up like sex educators, kink educators. Domina Clarity, that's going to be one of my guests on the show, like I said, she's American, so if you're in the States and you're looking for somewhere to start, that sounds like a great place to start to me. She's really, really cool. Go from there, and then use suggested follows. They're a big part of my life. Yeah, like when you go and you follow someone, and then it's like, oh, if you like this person, you want to follow this person too, and it's like, yeah, go down the rabbit hole, you know.
And so, what's the name, the Instagram handle of your show?
So my personal Instagram handle is @beingblah, and so the show handle is @being_blahblahblah. So
okay,
it's like,
great. So people go follow
being blah and blah 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 with special guests. So if you follow, I would love people to follow @being_blah blah blah. that would be fantastic. And like all the news about the show and how to find it online and so on will be there. Also like little clips from past shows will be there, and like and clips from this show and so on. Like it's very much a like a work in progress. I really do want to build the following. We've only had a few shows and it's a monthly show and it's tough. Got a full-time job and this is another full-time job with my a lot of blood, sweat and tears going into it. So I would love followers from all around, because I tend to have followers from the States anyway. So that's why I really, it was very important to me in the show model to have a video. Yeah. So maybe you'd see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's great. So people do that. When is the show again?
31st of July in Shinnay on the Quays, okay. On Dublin's Quays at 8 p.m. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. And there's a link tree with all links to, like, we raise money for charity and stuff as well at the shows. So like links to all the information about the charities that we've done in the past and so on are all there. So yeah, Instagram or Twitter are a good place to, well, Instagram would be the best place to start. And then, but yeah, and then come to the show, tickets on Eventbrite.
Amazing. Okay. And then just for the Shift listeners, well, firstly, thank you so much for coming on and giving us so much of your time. This episode was not up early on the Patreon because, We just didn't have a chance to really get to do it before. So usually I put things up a week early just for the Patreon. But the Patreon listeners are so nice. They won't mind. If you want to see the video will be up on Patreon. At some point I will be putting them up on YouTube. Yeah, listeners, if you could come over to the Patreon, that'd be great. I'll be doing a solo episode soon. And I'm also just really bad at promoting the Patreon just because I kind of forget about it. And I kind of just, then I also just put up so much personal stuff on it that I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want everybody over here, you know? So I need to rebrand it, which I will at some point, but for now it's all these like all the people who are on the Patreon have been like diehard since F1 and like with my comedy and stuff. So like I already told them, I was like, if I ever make it, you'll all get like not like first seat tickets to my show, because they'll have already seen my comedy so much, but like I'll get them first seat tickets to someone like they like, you know, like other than me.
I love that.
Thanks again, all the listeners. If you can go rate, review, that'd be amazing. Love you all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.